I understand you're a veteran of 8 deployments in Iraq and Afghanistan.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes. Thank you. Thank you for having me here. I have been on 8 deployments, 2 to Iraq and 6 to Afghanistan. But I tell a lot of people that's not a lot when a lot of my peers are on their 15th rotation over there. So.
And you received the nation's highest military honor for your actions in Afghanistan. That was back in May of 2008.
Yes.
So what happened? You were wounded, you were under fire, and you were still able to save 2 of your fellow soldiers?
Yes, ma'am. We were inside a compound. I got shot through both my legs. And then they started attacking us with hand grenades. Picked one up in the middle of our group to attempt to throw it away out of the kill zone. And it went off right as I was releasing it from my hand, but far enough to get it away from myself and my fellow soldiers. And lost my right hand, gunshot wounds through both the legs, but was able to get away.
So your life clearly has changed, but you remain active duty. You're still in the Army. And we were talking before we went live here, and you said as long as the Army still wants you and you still want them, it's going to be a great relationship. Talk to me about what it is you do with the military now.
Right now, I'm still doing a lot of the media engagements and stuff.
Like this.
Right before the awarding of the medal and a little bit in between every now and then. And then eventually, hopefully by the end of the year, beginning of 2012, I'll go back to my job where I'm working with a lot of the wounded soldiers for the special operations. Mm-hmm. And it's very humbling to see the resilience in the service members that are wounded. And it's almost like watching your children grow and walk again, seeing them recover from their injuries. And it's an avenue where I have experience, so I figure that's where I could do a lot of the influence on their lives and improve, help them and get through the recovery process.
I just get the impression from talking to you, you're protective of them. You really see them as part of a family, a larger fraternity, sorority-type family.
Absolutely, yeah. Like I said, I've been there before, laid up on my back in the hospital and going through that tough recovery with a lot of wounded soldiers, and being there for each other is what the military is all about. And if I could be there for another soldier, I'm going to do my best.
So how has your life been changed or altered because of the war or because of receiving the Medal of Honor?
I find myself dressed up a lot more, going and doing a lot of these type of speaking engagements and media and traveling a lot more. But it's all good. And I tell a lot of people, they say it must be hard to go from an infantryman kicking down doors and to media engagements, and which seems quite frequent. But I told them I was headed down a path and I hit a wall. Not really my intentions to lose my arm and get shot twice, but made it around, found a new path. And if I could do positive impact by doing media kind of circuit thing and talking about my fellow soldiers and service members and those who paid the ultimate sacrifice, then it's a good thing for me.
Kicking down doors of a different sort, I guess.
Yeah.
Is that what your mission is now, is to call attention to the sacrifice that the men and women are putting out there every single day?
I don't think it's really my mission, but it's part of what I like to do. I always like to thank my veterans. I like to remind people that there are men and women still out there fighting in Afghanistan and Iraq. So it's just part of who I am. I love the Army and I love my fellow soldiers.
We are talking with Army Ranger Sergeant First Class Leroy Petrie, the recipient of the Medal of Honor. I know you've heard it before. People call you a hero. I've got a lot of experience with the military, my father's military, and my brother. And I know a lot of guys and women, too, who have a hard time with that label of hero. How do you carry that? How do you handle that?
Well, like you said, it's absolutely that's one of the toughest questions for me, I think, is when people call me a hero, because I don't feel I am a hero. My unit, 275, had lost a few soldiers recently, and those are the true heroes to me, the ones that pay the ultimate sacrifice. And a lot of people that serve in the military 20, 30 years, those type of people that have given up so much of their life those are my heroes. So I said, it's kind of hard for me to put it in perspective and say, you want to call me a hero? Well, I said, that's your choice, but I guess then I have superheroes.
Yeah. Okay, but you're able to carry it with, it seems, with a little bit of grace and some dignity.
Well, it's a medal for all those who didn't come back, and if I could represent it well, then I'm going to do my best too.
And I think it's important also to reiterate, you are still in the military. You are still active duty. You're still out there, right, now, of course, doing the media thing, but
that's
you're
right.
Also working with other soldiers.
Yes, and I'm actually trying to see if they'll let me deploy to Afghanistan in November, hopefully.
Well, would that be number 9?
I'm not. I stopped counting. I love going back because I love seeing the good work that we're doing over there and the improvements of the country, and you get to see the good parts.
Well, what would you do?
I'd like to go out with the guys again, but if there's any job over there I could do to support the men and women over there, then I'd be happy to do anything.
Do you have any advice for any young people who might be considering serving or who have just enlisted and who maybe are looking for a path or some guidance?
I would say enlisting was one of the greatest things I did. I love it. That's why I decided to stay. And it definitely, you build friendships, you build a character, you build different morals, and it's a huge melting pot as well, but everyone leaves stuff at the door, and it teaches you how to build a team and how to set goals and how to achieve those goals. So it's a great opportunity. You can further your education while you're in the military. It's just a great opportunity, and that's one thing that I encourage soldiers that are in their younger years and first joining the military, is start your education early. I made the mistake of putting it off for a little bit, and I'm trying to do it now, but it's harder to catch up than it is to be ahead of the team. And talking with some West Point cadets, I said, man, if I had only known a little bit more about West Point, I might have gone there.
What are you studying?
Business management.
Oh, there you go. That's what they're looking for now at DOD.
Yes.
So very briefly, we have about a minute and a half left. Let's talk about your private life. Where is home for you? Where's your headquarters?
Right now, headquarters is Fort Lewis, Washington. And Household 6, which my wife, she's my team leader, taking care of 4 children that we have, 3 at home, one's in New York City.
But with all the media engagements, do you ever get a chance to go back?
I do. And they're very understanding. They adapted to my deployments, so they know Dad has work and has got to be gone sometimes. In fact, my boy's birthday was Sunday, so I called him and he said, I said, sorry, I can't be there for your birthday. He said, Dad, it's all right. I know we're going to celebrate when you get home.
So this is your first AUSA conference?
Yes.
All right, quick impressions?
A lot bigger than I expected. It's amazing. There's a lot of good representation here. It's the command, obviously, and the Army, Sergeant Majors and fellow NCOs and officers and even junior enlisted. It's great to see them all out here and all the different events and venues.